Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources. From industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. I'm really looking forward today to sharing another amazing expert with you. And today is a little bit even more special for me because I have known this amazing expert for a very long time. Not only have I known her, I've shared stages with her, I've been in programs with her, I've hired her, I've worked with her, and I've had her speak my stage as well. So we're going to have a lot to talk about. Hope you have a lot of pen and paper handy for all the things you're going to want to write down because she's going to share some gold. But let me tell you a little bit about her first. So Michelle Schaefer is the co-founder of Planet Business, an award-winning blogger, podcast host, international speaker, author, marketing consultant, and human psychology junkie. She's the creator of Lingo Dynamics, Science of Words That Feel. Michelle has mentored 25,000 plus bloggers through blogging challenges, and her podcast has reached 156 countries across the world. Through her blog, podcast, and social media, she's connected with hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs, guiding towards creating profitable businesses they're passionate about while making a positive difference in the world. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited. I feel like, just trying to decide which of the things that I feel like if I was going to share you with my audience, there is so much. I mean, I've known you for so long from Clear when you were doing the blogging challenge, mm-hmm. right? Clear back then writing those. How many blogs did you write in one day that you're known for?
Oh, my record is 42 blog posts in one day. I don't recommend that though.
I can understand that, right? You know, I really love that. You know, it's kind of funny how you have done all of those things and we've all been on a journey and I really love being alongside you as your friend, collaboration partner, promotional partner. I mean, I've seen you go through a lot of things yourself and how you have evolved too in your journey. So I know what you do now, but we didn't all wake up and say, oh, you know what? This is what I want to do when I grow up. I want to be this blogging person and I want to do this and I want to do that. So tell me, what was aha moment? This is what you wanted to do. And what made you really realize that this was what you were meant to do?
Oh, that is such a great question. Because you're right. It's a crazy journey. And I'm one of those people who entrepreneurship was not an intentional decision for me at first. It was like a necessity thing of I've got kids, I need to feed them. What kind of job can I do from home? And what can I create here? And so my business started out just from that space of, okay, let me find a creative solution to this problem. It wasn't an intentional, let me start a company and grow this thing. And it wasn't until probably 5 years into my business that I actually had those moments begin where I went, oh, this is about something so much bigger than just, let me keep the lights on, keep the rent paid, keep my kids fed. And one of the moments that actually did it for me was I got up one morning and I went to check my email. And I had started blogging and I'd been blogging for probably a year at this point. And I had this email from somebody in my inbox. And when I looked at the timestamp, they had sent it at like 3 a.m. And what they said in the email was basically they were at a point in their business where they just wanted to give up. They were so discouraged. They couldn't figure out how to make it work. And when they read my blog posts, and they saw me sharing openly like what it had been like to go through some of those moments when I was getting started, that they realized that if I could do it, they could do it too. And it's what inspired them to continue on doing what they did in business. And that was a moment for me where I went, wow, there is something bigger here than just me. And it started to help me kind of shift my mindset to, okay, I can make a difference with this more than just building websites for people or telling people how to get traffic. I can actually start a domino effect of people building businesses around their passions that they're really making a positive difference with. Now, how do I do that on purpose? And that's where things started to shift for me into what I do now.
I think that's also the difference between when you build a business and when you start a movement. Yes. Right. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that people do it. And maybe the people who do have movements now, maybe that's not what they were looking for in the beginning. Right. But I think that if you live your life with purpose, yeah, and you're passionate about what you do, there will come to this intersection where you'll realize that, oh, this actually really is what I was meant to do.
Well, and I think that's part of it for a lot of us is you realize at some point, and some people realize this from the beginning, others kind of realize it along the way, that the reason you started your business is there is something wrong in the world. There's a problem that you want to solve. There's something you see people struggling with that you have a solution for, and you want to get it out there, and you want to make a difference, and you want to make money while you're doing it, right? And I think the most powerful businesses that are actually the easiest to grow and market are the ones that have that movement at the core of this is why it exists. This is its purpose. And for somebody like me, I truly believe that entrepreneurship and empowering people to start and run their own businesses is the solution to most of the problems we have on earth. It really is. And from there, so many other things can be fixed and solved. That's what is at the core of what I do, is really seeing that vision of, if we empower people this way and let people get their gifts out there and do these positive things in the world and take care of themselves financially, you have some amazing things that can happen and change.
I agree with you. And I think that because we have social media and video, right, YouTube, all these different ways that people see it, they realize that in order to be successful in business, doesn't mean they have to be perfect, right? We understand that being authentic and letting people see that, you know what? This is my message. Absolutely. Not only that, but letting people really realize that when you do, you help shorten their learning curve when you say, you know what, I did this and it was an epic fail. Don't do that. Right?
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny because those are some of the things that actually, when you get into the marketing messaging and that side of things in your business, sharing those stories, those epic fail moments, as you just put it, are the things that attract people to you and actually get people to listen, because then they go, okay, this is somebody I can learn from. This is somebody I can identify with. Because when we see people who present this totally perfect image on social media or in their marketing, you're like, well, yeah, of course you can do it. You're perfect. You know, I'm not you. And that's not a very inspiring place to come from when you actually share that, you know what, I did this and it totally did not go as planned. Here's what I learned from it. Or when you share, you know, I was so nervous about this, but it went way better than I could have predicted. Here's why. Same thing. People are like, oh, so I'm not broken because I'm nervous or because I failed. I'm just human and I can still do this.
I think because we all have fears, nobody wants to hire someone who they think is perfect either. How comfortable are you going to feel spilling your gut to somebody when you're like, oh, you know, you are perfect, right? And I don't want to share with you all these things. I remember when I shared with people after I'd been a speaker for a while, and I shared with people that for 18 months when I first became a speaker, I got violently ill every single time before I got on the stage. They were like, really? I'm like, oh, believe me, if I can do this, you can do it. And I still don't absolutely love the mic. Nobody ever has to, like, you know, come drag the mic out of my hand. Believe me.
That's so hard to believe, though, because for most of us, when we're sitting in the audience, we see you just come alive on stage. And it's one of those things that hearing the other side of it, it really is inspiring to go, oh, okay. So it is possible for me to go do that too. I love that.
I just think it's so different, and everybody does have fears. So talking about fears a little bit here, right? So what is it that you have had fear of, something that has scared you, but you did it anyway?
Oh man, where to start with that list? So you know, people who follow me know I share stories all the time of when I was a kid growing up. Like, what I remember the most from preschool and kindergarten and first grade is the color of the carpet, because I was scared of everything. And where you were most likely to find me was hiding under my desk or hiding under a table in a corner somewhere, like trying to avoid all social contact. And it's been a huge journey for me to get to where I'm at in business, because, you know, I was scared of pretty much everything. I mean, I went through phases early in life where I was basically agoraphobic. I didn't even want to leave my house because I would have to interact with other humans. And so just having phone calls with people or having sales conversations especially was a huge, huge fear for me. I still get nervous before sales conversations. You know, I used to get nervous every single time I would send an email to my list. Like, it would take me so long to work up the courage to hit the send button. At the time I was using AWeber, and I would like sit there, and it would take me like half an hour to finally go, okay, send. And I would immediately close my computer so I couldn't try to cancel it, because I would be so nervous how somebody would react to this email that I was sending. Same thing with my blog. I would actually, to get myself around that, I would schedule my blog posts for like 2 a.m. because I knew I wouldn't be awake and I couldn't stop it. It would publish on its own because it was the only way to get myself past the like huge fear I had around putting myself out there. I mean, I was afraid of so many things when I started my business. And the good news is it gets easier the more you do it. But I don't know that it ever goes away. I'm still nervous before I hit send on an email or before I put content out there. And the thing that I really figured out for myself was it's not about not being nervous or not being scared or not being afraid. It's about figuring out what's more important than that fear. Because when we know what's more important, and that goes back to the mission and movement thing, when you know what's more important, then you just make that judgment call of, okay, yeah, I'm scared to death right now. However, it's more important that I hit the button and get it out there, or that I step on stage and take the microphone, even if my hand is shaking violently.
I think that's really true. I tend to believe, looking back in my life, right? I may not have known it at the time, but the things that I was the most fearful of were the things that literally changed my life the most. And I think it's also that the things that scare you so much, those are probably the things that somebody out there is just waiting for you to do because they need it.
Yes, absolutely agree with that. And I think the same thing when I look back, like those pivotal moments where you have the choice to shrink back or just be brave and do the crazy thing that feels like it might kill you. It's not going to kill you, first of all. I don't know if anybody has ever died from public speaking. I'm pretty sure nobody's ever died from blogging or podcasting or some of these other things. But those are the moments where you're stepping into something bigger, and there are people waiting for you to do that. They're waiting. I mean, there's people literally praying for you to get out there and share whatever your solution is. And that's why it's so important to work past those fears. And it's funny because, you know, I have so many things still even that scare me, right? That's just part of my personality. I guess I'm programmed that way, and I'm working on the wiring. But one of the things that I started, and I know you and I have talked about this before, like I think about 2 years ago, right before I started podcasting, I made a deal with myself, and I did not publicize this because that's dangerous, but I made a deal with myself. Anybody who asked me to be on their podcast or asked me to do an interview, I had to say yes. And I kept that for a year. Every time somebody asked me, I said yes, because I knew that would force me to get out of that fear comfort zone that I was in. Because your comfort zone is really not so much where you're comfortable. It's where you're scared to go outside of it. And that's not a space I want to stay in. You know, I want to be able to grow past that. And so I make deals like that with myself that help me grow out of it. And I've started in the last year, especially doing crazy things. And, you know, I've been running like Tough Mudder races and Spartan races and things that I am not athletic. Anybody who knows me knows I hate cardio. I have never been like the star anything in sports. In fact, gym was the class that messed up my GPA in school. I had to do extra credit just to get a C in gym, okay? But
I ditched. I didn't even go.
Oh, man. I hated gym class. But I started doing those because I realized if I can push myself to do something that hard and climb up nets that are, you know, 3 stories high when I have a huge fear of heights, or go through something that's electrocuted or jump over fire, suddenly blogging and marketing and sales calls and all this other stuff feels easier, right? You realize this isn't life or death. I can do this hard thing, then I can do this too. And so I think that's been a huge part of my journey, is figuring out how to push myself to do those hard things.
I think really all the things that we are afraid of, and when we get out of our comfort zone, that's where growth happens, right?
Absolutely.
Every single time that I have stepped out in faith and said, okay, this is going to be hard, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's what happened with me on speaking, right? I just said, I'm going to say yes every single time. And I always call myself an accidental speaker because that's really what happened for me. And thank goodness, because that was the greatest thing that for my business. But that is where the growth happens. So when we look back on that, so let's talk about that a little bit. So when we look back on that, thinking about somebody who may be listening that is either a new entrepreneur, or maybe they've transitioned out of corporate, mm-hmm. or maybe they're a business owner, what would you say should be the things that they should be thinking about doing first? Like, what's the advice that you would give them about the things that they should do first? Because I know for me, I did a lot of things out of order and I had to go back and, you know, and stuff like that. So,
looking back, man, talk about the epic fails you mentioned earlier. I waited like 9 years in business before I started collecting email addresses for a mailing list. I mean, I have done some crazy out of order things like that. But I think actually the two things I would say are, number one, get really, 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 really super clear, and I can't say really enough times there, about your why, what your motivation is, and about what you want to create. Because too many times we build a business model that doesn't at all line up with what we actually want our business and our lifestyle to be. So that's the first thing. Get really clear on what you want and why you want it. And the second thing I would say, and a lot of people would say, no, that's out of order, but it's not, is find an advocate, find a coach, find somebody who is going to be the person who can help you look from the outside and say, no, it's time for you to get on stage. I'm going to give you that push. No, it's time for you to try this. I'm going to give you that push. Because sometimes in business, especially, I mean, people say, if you want to go on a personal growth journey, start a business. It's absolutely true. It's hard to push yourself, to advocate for yourself, and to really see your potential. So find somebody who will believe in you and see that potential, even on your bad days, because that's what will actually keep you moving forward. I waited longer than I wish I had to find a coach, to find somebody to work with, to support me. And I know the periods in my business where I have actually grown, stayed focused, and made things happen was when I had that person who was that advocate, who would kind of smack me if I needed it, but with a hug, you know, and help me to grow into the next level. So those are the things I would suggest.
Oh, I love those. Those are really great. Thank you for sharing those. So we've spent a little bit of time talking about fears and growth and big fails, right? So let's kind of flip the switch on that a little bit, right?
Sure.
I happen to know how gifted and fabulous you are, right? So what do you do best in your business? So let's talk about that. Like, what do you do best? What do you love most about your business today?
Oh, that's
Let's
a
talk
great
about those
question.
Strengths.
You know, that's something, and I think that's where my advice just now comes from, because I built a business model more than once that did not get me to where I wanted as far as my lifestyle and my business. I built a business model the first time around that landed me in the ER because I was so stressed out. I was so tired. I was overworking so much. I wasn't sleeping. It was bad. And so bringing myself back to, okay, what do I really want to create? Because I know so many other entrepreneurs with that same story, or who wake up in tears in the morning. They're so stressed out. They hate the business they've created. And that's a really bad place to be. And so one thing that I have learned, not just from my own journey and that I feel like is a strength now, but also from working with so many different clients, because, you know, from our work, I work with everybody as a consultant, from startups, from people who are at literally zero in revenue, up to 7, 8, 9 figure businesses. And I've worked with businesses across industries, from business coaching, life coaching, health and wellness, nutrition, fitness, e-commerce, spiritual, energetic things, just like this whole range of tech, software, everything, that I think one of the things it's given me is kind of that 30,000 foot view, where I can come in and look at things really strategically. And so looking at everything from, when it comes to marketing, does your messaging and your sales funnels match the level of client you want to attract? Do you have these pieces lined up? Some of those strategic things are, I think my strength in business and what I can bring into the conversation when I'm looking at that foundational piece of how do we actually build the business that supports what you want, and then from there figure out some of the other pieces. And that's a place that's really fun for me to play because I feel like it makes such a difference. So many people out there in business are following all the advice and building all the funnels and they're not working and they feel like it's their fault. They're doing something wrong. The only thing they're doing wrong is they're not strategically seeing what's wrong with that model and why it's actually not going to work for them. And so pulling that back and asking the question that's behind the question, because we assume we should do certain things. Well, question that assumption, because maybe you shouldn't. Maybe there's something different. And I know we've had that conversation too.
We sure have.
Yep. That's where I come in and say, no, wait a minute. Let's go one step back. What do you actually want? What are you actually good at? And how do we bring that into your business and make it something you love?
You know what? I think you're right. We have just had this conversation. And I think it's kind of like if you go to a fitness place and you have a personal trainer, or you just go to the gym and you say, oh, you know, I want to do this. Oh, but I have a bad back and I can't do this. And anyone that's good at what they do will say, well, there's many different exercises to work that muscle. So if you can't do it this way, it's another way to do it.
Exactly.
So one of the things that I've always loved about you, and this is a strength you really have, is that not only can you look at that, it's really easy for you to break it down to bite-sized action pieces. You're really good at that. That's why you're my go-to person for that. So coaches have coaches. We all have mentors. Peer-to-peer, we all do that too. And the other thing I think is what you were saying earlier about having an advocate and a mentor. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, strategy is important. And even in the marketing space, right? We look at our own stuff differently than what we're telling other people to do, right? We all know that.
Oh, absolutely.
And so having somebody that you trust, right? And able to say to you, well, why are you doing that? That just happened this week for us. That's why we're having this conversation. When I said, oh, I don't really want to do this thing. I don't really like doing this thing. And you said, well, then why are you doing it? And I'm like, oh, well, because everybody who has a website does that. And you're like, but why? You don't like to do that. And so it was like giving me permission to not do something that I really didn't want to do. And after we got off the phone, I was thinking to myself, why did I have to have permission for that? Like, I actually do marketing, right? But the thing is, sometimes that's why there's so many people that do different things. One thing, the person who actually introduced us, Adam Grabansky, if anybody doesn't know who that is, I remember he said something once that really stuck with me. He said, you're not reinventing ice cream. You're just trying to find your own flavor.
Yeah.
So that's why somebody, you're going to be the perfect person for them because they love Rocky Road. And this person over here only likes vanilla. And this person only likes this. So really, it's the way you do what you do sometimes. Absolutely. So I think that's why we shouldn't compare. That's why we need to be in an abundant mindset because there's plenty of business for everybody. And you break that down so well. I've always loved your ability to do that. Serve in a really great way that way.
I appreciate that. And that's one of the things that I think when I most realized that was two things happened. One, I was working with this client who it was not a good fit. You know, I didn't at that time of business have the right filters in place to really be able to catch when there might be a personality conflict or some of those things that happen in business. And, you know, we wrapped the project. It went great. It turned out well, but it was really stressful because the person just had a completely different worldview than I did. And it's hard to work with somebody like that when your worldviews clash and your values clash. And at the same time, I was blogging a lot and I was having these experiences of people coming in who had read my content, who had been following me for a little while, who were not only a great fit and had the same values and worldview, but we didn't even have to talk about certain things because they already understood where I was coming from. And it made me realize the value of content marketing and the value of actually what you mentioned earlier, being authentic about what you put out there, because you actually don't want everybody in the world who needs to hire whatever it is you do. You only want the people who actually vibe with you, who are a good fit for you to work with so you can get great results. You don't want the nightmare clients. Those clients for somebody else are a dream client. Let them go find the person they're a dream client for. And that's how I approach most of my marketing, is like actually looking at who do I want to attract? Whose cup of tea am I? I am not everybody's cup of tea, and I'm cool with that.
I think it actually makes me happy. I think that I had an exercise that my coach had me do once. I was having a hard time sleeping. And my coach said, because you're still working when you get off work, I want you to close your calendar and don't look at it until next morning because you're working in advance. So here's the thing, though. It had this serendipitous effect. What happened was when I would wake up in the morning and I would look at my calendar, all of a sudden when I looked at my calendar, I would look at some of the names and I'd be go, oh, I'd be all happy. And sometimes I'd be like, oh. And it became really clear to me that, oh, wow, there are people that really don't align with my beliefs and my values, and they're not the right client. I don't want to work with them. I want to work with more of these ones. So it was really good for me to get clear on that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I just had a webinar this morning where I was talking about like the five levels of business types that you can work with in the scale model, and the idea that your skills, your value are different for the same exact service at different levels, and talking people through like, who do you want to work with? And one of the things I said was, you know, you might think that this elite level is where you want to work with clients because they can pay you $25K. And I mentioned that one of the things this last week that it made me the happiest was I had a client who's fairly new in business in terms of where they're at revenue wise. And we were on a strategy call and she told me in one day, I made more in my business than I make in 2 months at my job. And I actually see now where I'm going to be able to let that job go and do this full time. And that made me so excited, right? It was like that moment when you look at your calendar, like, these are the ones I want to work with. And I think that's part of going back to being intentional about your business and knowing, what do you want? Who do you want to work with? Because for somebody at that level, you can make such a difference with where they're at and the way their life goes, really. You know, it is literally life-changing to be able to get that confidence in your business. And so there's things like that that just, I mean, those motivate me, those moments.
I love that. So Michelle, before we wrap it up, there's this part on my podcast that I love to make sure that I serve and support my guests. This is what I am calling open mic.
Okay.
Basically what it means is this: what's the one question that I didn't ask you and you wish I did and you want to answer?
Ooh, let's see. So many directions we could go with that.
It's an open mic. Like, this
open
is really
mic. What a fun question. You know, I think one question that people ask a lot, either what were your success or what was your failure in business, and they don't ask as often, what are the things that are consistently working? Mm-hmm. And that's one question I wish more people would answer, because it's great to hear the huge success stories. Like, you know, hey, I had a 5-figure, 6-figure, 7-figure day. That's awesome. And it's great to hear like, okay, somebody else failed. But I think one of the things that's most valuable is to hear like, what is actually working to be consistent, to get your business in a groove and get it growing. So maybe that's the question I can answer. And what I would say works for me in terms of keeping things consistently growing is really knowing what it is that I want to create. I have a friend who says, if you don't know what you want, you can't know what to notice for. I think that's such a great thing to keep in mind for your business. And so I would say, make sure you have a plan of what does your perfect normal day look like? Not the like grand vacations, not the big business events, but like a normal day. What would be a perfect normal day for you? And then figure out how to build your business around that. And take some time to think about it, because you may actually be closer than you think. You may have accomplished more than you realize and gotten closer to that than you actually are aware of. That's always a fascinating exercise for me when I sit down and look at, if I could have a perfect normal day, what would that look like? Wake up, drink my coffee, go to the gym, work with clients I love. And when I start thinking about that, I realize I've created that. And that's something that has made such a difference in where I'm at. And I would say that's what I would really like leave people with, that thought of, what is your perfect normal day? How can your business help you create that? And then just be really conscious about it. Learn how to build the boundaries into your business. Learn how to be consistent with your marketing, with your sales, with your promotions, and everything that goes into a business so that you can create that and keep that and really have the life that you want.
Well, I love that. If I could switch out going to the gym for shoe shopping, that would be my perfect day too.
But, we can have both. Absolutely. Both of those should be in a perfect day.
Absolutely. I tend to do both. Okay, Michelle, so what's next for you?
What's next for me Well, I think I'm recording another podcast episode, but other than that one, you know, what's next for me in business? What I'm most excited about right now are two things. Number one, we're about to launch a Planet Business podcast, which is going to be really exciting. Give me some more space to talk about some of these strategic business concepts and things that I am really, really having fun with. The other piece is the scale model that I mentioned a minute ago that I've been developing that really helps you figure out what funnel to use at what level to attract in the clients you want, because I know so many people who are frustrated that they can't get the level of clients they want or that they can't scale things the way they want. So me being able to finally bring like 19 years of business plus working with some partners in this to bring it all into one model that we can share, that's really what I'm focused on next. I am really excited about that.
Oh, I just love that. So will you share with everybody how they can connect with you and find out more information and some of those goodies that I know you always have?
Absolutely. Well, let's do this. If you go to michelleschaefer.com/Patty, very important, /Patty, there will be a page there of special gifts just for Patty's audience.
That's like coming to dinner and bringing a bottle of wine, right? You know how to be a great guest, Michelle. I absolutely love it. So thank you so much for being here with me. I really appreciate it. You, of course, were so generous, like you always are. And everybody out there, if you enjoyed today's episode, please like, subscribe, and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. And remember that sharing is caring. Yes. So until our next episode, it was great to spend time with you. Make it a phenomenal day.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.